When I discovered affirmations, here's what happened. And I don't often get to tell the story, so thank you for asking. I was there in the shower. I mean, everything happened exactly the way I described it. Literally, I mean, I know it was a very long shower, but that's really how it happened. Anyway, so I said, holy cow, that is really cool. And the second thought I had was, I can't believe no one's ever thought of that before. Because it was so powerful, so life-changing, mm-hmm. so simple. Mm-hmm. It was literally staring us in the face the whole time, but I'm the guy that put it together.
Yeah.
And that's what I've noticed. One of the things that I'm good at is assimilating. I'm a very good assimilator. Like, in, I was just talking about that. You know, I paid all these guys all this money, come to find out they can't teach their way out of a paper bag, but collectively, and this took over $500,000 in 20 years, but I was able to finally get it together. But man, that sucks.
Welcome to episode 200 of Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. I'm your host, Candice Rodarte, and today I'm joined by one of my personal virtual mentors, Dr. Noah St. John. Frequent listeners to the show have often heard me say that I believe that affirmations, I am statements, are lies, and that we need to stop lying to ourselves and start asking better questions. Well, Dr. Noah St. John is the father of affirmations and the mental health coach to the stars. He's the author of 24 books, including his new book, The Seven-Figure Expert, Your Ultimate Guide to a Life of More Impact, Influence, and Financial Freedom. Grab your free copy at sevenfigureexpertbook.com. That's the number sevenfigureexpertbook.com. Working with Hollywood celebrities, eight-figure company CEOs, and professional athletes, Noah is famous for helping people make more in just 12 weeks than they made in the last 12 months while winning back their lives. I am beyond thrilled to welcome Dr. Noah St. John. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Candice. Great to be here with you today.
So did you know that you are one of my virtual mentors?
It was mentioned to me, yes.
I love this story. I'm going to tell a quick story and then we'll get into the interview. So I have been teaching people affirmations for years. I found you after it occurred to me that people who say these I am statements and nothing ever happens don't have the right mindset. I don't even know what it was. And you can get into the science of that later. But then I discovered you and I'm like, ding, 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 ding. This is the answer. And right. What do you do when you learn something new? You teach it to everybody you possibly can. So I have been teaching affirmations for years, so much so that our mutual friend, Jenny Bellinger, thought that you and I already knew each other. Mm-hmm. So when she made that introduction, I was thrilled. So Jenny, thank you very much. So First question for you. Mm-hmm. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, I grew up poor in a rich neighborhood. And I know that's a total cliche, but it's true. I grew up in this little town called Kennebunkport, Maine, which is one of the wealthiest communities in New England. But my family was dirt poor. And I mean that literally, because we lived at the bottom of a dirt road in a drafty, unfinished house that my parents actually ended up losing to foreclosure when I was just 15 years old. So from a very young age, I was painfully exposed to the gap, the chasm between the haves and the have-nots. The haves was everyone else in the community. The have-nots was my family. And so I'm sure probably everybody listening to this program has heard, you know, speakers, motivational speakers or whatever, they'll get on the stage and say things like, well, we were poor, but we were happy. We didn't know we were poor. Well, in my family, we freaking knew we were poor because, you know, my mother, bless her heart, reminded us every day that we were poor and miserable. So no, it wasn't happy. It sucked. And so I hated that life of poverty, fear, lack, not enoughness. That's what I grew up with. But I saw that right down the street, there's great wealth and abundance. So I literally said from the time I was a little kid, how the heck do I get from here to there? Now, of course, there was no one to help me. You know, there's no internet back then or, you know, coaching or anything like we have today. So I did the only thing that I could think of to do, which is I went to the library and read every book in the self-help section. I just went to the self-help section and read every book, you know, all the classics, Dale Carnegie, Napoleon Hill, Stephen Covey, just really immersed myself in and read every book. You know, and I really, really tried to make it work. But as hard as I tried, as hard as I worked, I just couldn't seem to get it to work. And so, you know, fast forward years later, at the age of 25, I made a decision, and I decided to take my own life. I decided to commit suicide at age 25. You know, the circumstances around that were, you know, I was working at a dead end job. You know, my girlfriend had just left me. I mean, it was like a country song, you know, but, you know, it was real. It really happened. And so I was like, you know what? I didn't see any way out. So like, I just want to end it all. Now, at the very last moment, my life was spared. Now, I didn't know why at the time, but I said, I've got to figure out, what am I doing on this planet? What am I doing here? Why am I here? You know, and so I went back to the library and read every book in the spiritual section. This time I went to the spiritual section, you know, and read every book on spirituality, you know, like Neil Donald Walsh, Louise Hay, Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra, Ernest Holmes, you know, the spiritual thinkers of our time. So I read all those books and immersed myself. Then fast forward 5 years later, in 1997, that's when I had the epiphanies that really changed my life, number one, and number two, really gave me my purpose here on the earth. And that's when I realized why I'm here, you know, to do what I do. And I wrote my first book, which was entitled Permission to Succeed, which is back there somewhere, one of my books. Anyway, so 24 books later, here they are here, and then they're here in other languages back here, 18 languages later. So now, you know, through my coaching, you know, whether it's one-on-one or group coaching, we've helped our clients add over $3 billion collectively, meaning, you know, we've helped people add multiple six and seven and even eight figures to their business while actually winning their lives back. So what I teach and what I realized many years ago is really, it's the opposite of the hustle and grind, you know, that we all hear out there, the hustle bros, I call them, you know, and they're all about, you know, you got to work 14, 16, 18 hours a day. And if you're not working on Christmas Eve, you're a failure. And I'm like, are you nuts? I mean, give me a break. You know, I want a life. I don't know where they're at. And, you know, I'm sure there's people that enjoy that or something. I don't know. But to me, that's idiotic. So anyway, the point is, you know, yes, we help people make a lot of money very quickly, actually. But more importantly, I think, is we help people really win their lives back.
So you and I are roughly the same age based on the dates that you gave, and which means that we were teenagers in the 80s, which means that we saw those movies, you know, Greed is Good and all that stuff. And so it took a long time, at least a decade, for that trash to get out of my head, obviously about the same amount of time for you. But there was a lot going on in the world in 97, 98, 98, 99. That's when I launched my first internet business. So there was something going on in the world at that time that was electric, and some people harnessed that electricity like you did, and some people were afraid. I had something similar in my life. My family actually wasn't dirt poor. We were middle class. We always had enough money for everything, but my parents always talked about how poor we were. And so even though we had more than enough money to go on vacation every year, to have all the things that we needed, always had enough food, always had a decent house, you know, there was that trash in their head was, we know we don't have enough, we're broke. And so that generational thing gets passed down. Do you have advice for overcoming that?
Oh yeah, I sure do. and so what you're alluding to is something that I've written 24 books on this one subject, you could say, which is how to take out your head trash. Right. In fact, one of my books is called Get Rid of Your Head Trash About Money. OK, so, yeah, but I could say that I've written 24 books basically on this one subject, getting rid of that head trash. So the way that I look at it and the way that I teach it, you know, whether it's in my one-on-one or group coaching programs, is when you think about your goals. All right. Because one of the things that I do is help people reach their goals much, much faster and easier. I mean, and who doesn't want that? Right. I mean, we all want to reach our goals. So the question is, well, do you want to take a long time or would you rather take a shorter time? Now, what's interesting is the guru's idea is, well, if you want to take a shorter time, just work 10 times harder and longer. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you could do that if you want, but how about a easier, better way to get there even faster? You know, like a real shortcut, because there's fake shortcuts and real shortcuts. We teach real shortcuts. So going back to, if you think about your goals, right, there are three basic types of goals that we humans have, and that is being, doing, and having. Right. So we have goals of being, doing, and having. So a being goal would be like, I want to be happy. You know, I want to be healthy. You could also call it a feeling goal. I want to feel good about myself. I want to feel confident. You know, so that would be an example or examples of being goals, which, you know, we all have those, of course. Then we have doing goals, right? I want to do this. I want to, you know, write a book like you do know. I want to start my business. I want to grow my business. I want to scale up to 6, 7, or 8 figures. I want to sell my business. I want to have an online course. But also, you know, I want to go on a vacation with my family. I want to visit the Grand Canyon. I want to go to Hawaii, whatever it might be. So those are doing goals, right? And then you have having goals. I want to have a new car. I want to have a new house. I want to have a ham sandwich for lunch, you know. So being, doing, and having. So those are three basic goals that, you know, we humans have. But here's what's interesting. Now, you know, lots of people talk about goal setting and, you know, oh, goals, I've heard this a million times. I'm like, yeah, okay. But here's what they don't tell you. Okay. And this is one of the things that took me a long time to figure out. And that is when you set a goal, even if you're just thinking about it, you know, whether you write it down or you're just thinking about it, here's what happens for most people. For most people, after they think about their goals or they write it down, here's what happens. The very next thing that happens is, I probably can't do it. That's the very next thought. Now, that might be a conscious thought. It might be a subconscious thought. You might not even be aware you're thinking it, right? But it's, well, I want to, let's just say, you know, I want to make more money. I want to grow my business. I don't have the time, you know, or, you know, I want to write a book, but I don't know where to get started. Or I, you know, I want to spend more time with my family, but I don't have the money. You know, I have to work all the time, whatever. So you see, whatever happens after the word, but is your head trash, right? I can't do it because, right? Or I want to do this, but I can't because, and then whatever happens after that, that's your head trash. And what's interesting is that is the very thing that's keeping you stuck. Let me give you an example. I'll give you a real life example from one of my clients. So I ask all my clients, whether one-on-one or group coaching, I ask them one question to start. I mean, I ask them several questions, of course, but one question is, well, I'll go back to my example. So I was talking with one of my clients. His name's Charles. Okay. So I said, Charles, how much do you think it's going to cost you if we don't get rid of your head trash in the next 12 months? Now, he had read my books, you know, so he's familiar with my work. He'd seen, you know, the different case studies I've had of helping people make a lot of money. So he knew what I was talking about. And so I said, when I asked him that question, I said, how much do you think it's going to cost you if we don't get rid of your head trash in the next 12 months? And he answered without batting an eye. He said $1 million. Noah, if I don't get rid of this head trash, it's going to easily cost me $1 million. Now, he was making six figures. You know, he was doing well, but he couldn't break through that income ceiling, right? So he had, you know, been basically banging his head against the income ceiling, which so many people are, right? They're working hard and he'd spent lots of money on, you know, different coaches and gurus and things like that. Again, he was doing well, but he just couldn't break through that ceiling, okay? So he said, you know, it's going to cost me $1 million. And so I said, first of all, I hear that every day. Every day I talk to people who say, Noah, you know, if I don't get rid of this head trash, it's easily going to cost me, you know, anywhere from $100,000 to $1 million in the next 12 months. So it's very common. And then I said, I tell you what, why don't you just give me 10% of that $1 million and I will find you $1 million in the next 12 months. In other words, if you give me $1 and I give you $10 back, is that a good deal? He goes, well, yeah, that's a good deal. So he said, all right, let's do it. So he paid me $100K. I mean, $100,000, that's 10% of $1 million, right? So, you know, that's one of the reasons I love working with high achievers, you know, people who know what they want and are willing to invest in themselves to go get it. You know, he didn't dilly-dally, didn't mess around. He said, let's do it. So I coached him for a year, right? One-on-one. And so, you know, he paid me $100K for that. Well, as it turns out, I didn't find him $1 million in the next 12 months. Instead, I found him 1.8 million in the next 10 months. So he gave me $1. I gave him $18 back.
That's a good ROI.
Is that a good deal? No, that's a great deal.
That's a great deal.
And in fact, he just sent me an email recently. He said, guess what, Noah? Guess where I am? I'm on a 7-week vacation with my wife. We just bought a new RV. And, you know, with all the money, we've got it now. And so we're taking 7 weeks off. And I've never been able to do that before. Never. I've never had this much time. So he said, not only do we have more money than we've ever had before, now I have more time than I've ever had before because of what you taught me. So, I mean, that's just one example of how your head trash can be really keeping you stuck and how when you get rid of it, it can really change your life.
I think that's a life-changing question. How much is it going to cost you if you don't get rid of this head trash?
Yes.
That is a life-changing question.
It's funny. And excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was just about to say, because it leads me, when you said that, it leads me to remember another one of my clients many years ago, like one of my very first one-on-one coaching clients. He said to me, because I helped him double his income and double his time off in less than 12 weeks. He doubled his income and doubled his time off. And he said to me, Noah, do you realize that your coaching is the only coaching that fixes every other coaching? And I was like, I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It does, doesn't it? So I love that it came from him. I didn't say it. He said it. I was like, yeah, you're right. It does.
Well, once you wrap your head around it, it really does change. I mean, because a lot of coaches are teaching the wrong, they're teaching the affirmations, the I am statements, and not to ask the right questions. So speaking of asking the right questions, I love the origin story of affirmations. Would you please share that with the audience?
Absolutely. And for those of you who are not familiar, just so you know, we are saying a new word. It is affirmations, this word that I invented 26 years ago, and it's affirmations. And you go to affirmations.com, learn more about this, affirmations, my affirmations method. This is my book from, hey, yeah, I won't hold up all 24 books, I promise. anyway, so
that book is a Bible.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Anyway, so going back to my, you know, origin story, right? So I told you, read every book out there and they all said the same thing. Every book said the same thing. I got to write the statement and put in the positive. Right. And I'm like, I did it. I mean, I'm like, listen, it's exactly like this. Imagine if you wanted to build a house, right? And you go into Home Depot and all they have is chainsaws. And you're like, and they're like, well, you know, you can have any chainsaw you want. I'm like, well, that's nice, but I need some other tools. You know, I need like maybe a hammer and nails, saw, whatever.
If you want to build a log cabin, a chainsaw is all you need.
Right. Well,
but maybe. That's about it.
Need a few more things. But anyway, you can have a red one, a green one, a yellow one. Hey, we got all chainsaws. I'm like, wait a minute. But so what I did was I invented really a better tool for your brain. Okay. So anyway. So
exactly. It's a better tool for your brain.
Yeah. And so, you know, but the point is, that's what I was saying. They only gave us one thing. And it's like, well, if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't work, you're doing it wrong. That's barely what they said to us. If you think about it, they really said that, if not explicitly, implicitly. Right. Anyway. So, you know, we've all heard this a million times, you know, say it positive, write this down. Blah, blah. So I had all these post-it notes all over my, you know, walls, everything. I'm sure many people have done that, you know, the mirror, whatever, you know, I'm happy, I'm rich, I'm successful. And the reality was, no, I'm not. I'm broke, unhappy, and miserable. You know? So it's like, what the heck is going on around here? So this was back in April 1997, you know, over 26 years ago now, that, you know, when, and so what happened was, I was so frustrated because I've been doing this for years, doing everything they said, and it just didn't work, right? So as it so happened, I was in the shower when I was thinking about all this. And in my books and my programs, I call it the shower that changed everything, right? And I'm sure most people listening to this program have had like one of those moments, you know, in the shower, the bathtub, you know, eureka. This goes back to the ancient Greeks. So, you know,
this story is one of the reasons why I keep a whiteboard in my bathroom.
Exactly. You have to, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you never know what's going to happen. Anyway, so in this particular shower, it was April 1997, I was thinking about this. And I mean, because I was so frustrated, I just literally was saying, how come I've been doing everything they said and it's not working? You know, I mean, I've been following the instructions to the letter. It's like, you know, when you follow the recipe, it should work, you know, but every single time the cake didn't come out right. It's like, what? So I started to think about this and I said, okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about beliefs, because if you want to change your life, I knew it was true that you have to change your beliefs, right? So using, again, my example, growing up poor, I had lots of head trash about money. I think I wrote all these books. So I knew that was true. But then I said, okay, so what is a belief? And then I said, well, a belief is just a thought. That's all a belief is. A belief is a thought. So then I said, well, what is thought? And then when I thought about that question, I realized that human thought is really the process of asking and searching for answers to questions. I was literally demonstrating it as I was doing it, right? And so I realized that, now, wait a minute. It's like if I were to ask you, and I love doing this, by the way, I'm also a keynote speaker, you know, as well as a coach.
I can kind of tell.
Yeah. And so, you know, whether I'm very privileged to be able to do, you know, keynote presentations for live virtual events, you know, companies, teams, organizations all around the country, around the world. So one of the things I like to do when I teach affirmations in my keynote presentations, I like to say, okay, so I'm going to ask you a question now, saying to my audience members, all right, I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to see what happens. So Candace, you and I can play along here. So let me ask you a question and I want you to see what happens. All right, ready? Why is the sky blue?
I don't know the science behind that.
Aha. But what just happened in your brain?
My brain started to look for the answer to see if I could remember why the sky is blue.
That's right. So I asked you a question.
Has to do with refraction.
What's that?
It has to do with refraction.
It actually does have to do with refraction. That's exactly right. That's true. That is true. And you know, everybody's furiously Googling that right now.
Exactly.
But see, you're still proving my point. Because mm-hmm. you know what you're doing.
My
you're
brain is still trying to find the answer. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And now notice you couldn't not do that.
Yeah.
You can't not do it. In fact, psychologists have a term for this. It's called the embedded presupposition factor of the brain. I'm the most famous proponent of teaching the embedded presupposition. Nobody ever heard of it before me, but now it's kind of known. All right. So the embedded presupposition factor very simply means that when you ask a question, your brain searches for the answer. So I said, okay, now hold on a second. If the human mind is automatically searching for answers to questions, why are we going around making statements we don't believe?
Yeah.
Why don't we just cut out the middleman?
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, well, what would that look like? And then I said, okay, let's take the statement or affirmation. We've all heard a million times. I am rich. And so like I do this again at my presentations. I like to say, all right, everybody say, I want you to say this affirmation that we've all heard a million times and you probably tried it yourself. So everybody say, I am rich. Everybody goes, I am rich. You know what happens next? Everyone starts laughing.
Yeah.
And I go, mm-hmm. what are you laughing at? And they go, well, I'm not rich. And I say, but you just said you were. And they mm-hmm. go, yeah, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't matter how much money you have, too. There's always somebody who has more than you do.
Right.
And you're always comparing yourself to the person who has more than you do.
And your brain literally goes, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I call it in my books and my programs, I call it the yeah, right response, because your brain goes, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know? And so what they taught us, if you really think about it, which, of course, I have, having written many books on the subject.
How many books have you written on the subject?
I think it's 24.
Okay.
Sorry. Anyway, if you really think about it, they're telling us, teaching us, all you have to do is bash your brain into submission.
Yeah.
How's that working for you? Mm. And hey, you know, if it works, it works. What's interesting, though, did you know that there was actually a scientific study done on this very topic? And interestingly enough, in fact, it's fascinating. 3 out of 4 people, 75%, get this, 75% of people who use the old affirmations method end up more frustrated than before.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
And so just as an example, imagine if you had a smartphone and it didn't work 3 out of the 4 times you went to use it.
Mm.
Probably get a new phone, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I invented, a new phone for your brain. Okay.
I love it. Upgraded operating system.
An upgraded operating system for your brain. And so the point is that's when I realized, I'm like, now, wait a second. As you say, I am rich, old affirmation, and your brain goes, yeah, right. And so I said, well, then what would the question be? And then I said, why am I so rich? Why am I so rich? Now, when I ask that question, when you ask yourself that question, what immediately happens in your brain?
Start listing off all the reasons why I have more than I need.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You start searching for the answer, just like the, mm-hmm. you know, why is the sky blue example yeah. I gave a moment ago.
Yeah.
So
and
what
it's
I'm
comparative too. I mean, my brain immediately started doing a checklist of all the things that I have that other people don't.
That's right. And so what I'm teaching in my books and my coaching, my courses is the law of sowing and reaping. As you sow, so shall you reap. Now, this is an ancient law. It's been taught for centuries. And yet, what are we sowing? Well, we're sowing seeds of thought. But do you know what most people are doing? Sowing lousy thought seeds. Why am I so stupid? Why am I so fat? Why can't I lose weight? Why isn't my business growing? Why can't I get a date on Saturday night? Why is there more month left at the end of the money?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And mm-hmm. when you ask lousy questions, what do you get?
Lousy answers.
Right. And that creates a lousy life.
Yep.
So as I was standing there in the shower, April 1997, I said, wait a minute, what if instead of asking lousy questions that lead to lousy answers, create a lousy life, what if we just flip the whole thing around, start asking empowering questions that lead to phenomenal answers and create a wonderful life? Mm-hmm. So standing there in the shower, April 1997, I said, holy cow, I think I just invented something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I had to give it a name. And the name, again, I'll just hold that up. Affirmations. There it is. Affirmations. Affirmations. And so just to fast forward, I literally sat down. I wrote my first book, which was entitled Permission to Succeed, back in late 97, October of 97. And then I self-published that book in 98. And then the Chicken Soup for the Soul publisher found me. And in 99, they published my very first book, which was called Permission to Succeed. And that was the first place in human history that ever talked about affirmations. And so, you know, since that time, over 3 million people around the world are using my affirmations method. And we have just more stories than you can imagine.
And people you don't even know are teaching them to other people.
There you go. Exactly. Right. And, you know, people making more money, losing weight, finding love. I had a couple in Germany who was a client, and he actually wrote me, and he said that he and his wife had their divorce papers on the desk ready to be signed. You can't get any closer to divorce than here's the papers, sign them. He heard me teach affirmations. I was on a podcast or something like that. And he got my book. He got my because we have actually done for you, they're called Iaform audios. You can listen to them throughout the day and reprogram your subconscious mind while you're not even paying attention. All that's on our website. Anyway, and he got the book, he got the Iaform audios. He said, Noah, we tore up the divorce papers and now we're best friends again and we're in love again. I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, just so many stories like that. Just incredible stories.
That's an amazing story. I mean, if you're at the point where you're willing to sign the paper.
Yeah, you can't get any back from closer that than sign here. Yeah. And you're divorced. It's like, and they tore up the paper. I'm like, isn't that a wonderful story?
That's also a fantastic story, by the way,
for the folks, everybody listening, kids love affirmations. Kids love my affirmations method. So in the book, I actually share, there's one story of at that time, she was, you know, I think 10 years old. Her name's Stephanie. And she's a teenager now. Or anyway, so but her mom heard me teach actually at a conference. She went home. She was so excited because her daughter Stephanie she had a lot of anxiety and she wasn't sleeping well. And they tried hypnosis, they tried therapy. I mean, they tried a lot of things. Nothing was working. Taught her daughter, her 10-year-old daughter, my affirmations method. That first night, she slept like she had never, you know, hadn't slept in years. And now she went on to be, you know, have lots of self-confidence and just, you know, it literally changed her life, turned her life around.
Wow. I didn't even think about using it to sleep better.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, so if you go to iaform.com, it's I-A-F-F-O-R-M, like iTunes, Iaform, get it? Mm-hmm. Iaform.com. So there's actually, we have different Iaform audios you can listen to throughout the day. And you can even have them on your phone. You can put them on your, you know, your laptop, your computer, whatever, and just have them going in the background. And you can literally change your subconscious thought patterns while you're not even paying attention because they run in the background. And then literally, and so, yeah, we have on deep, blissful sleep, on making more money, growing your business, self-confidence, life purpose, lots of different things. So that's at iaform.com.
Awesome. You also have a YouTube channel. And this morning I was just, you know, making sure I had all your links correct for your show notes. And so I popped open your YouTube channel and today's affirmation, you have an affirmation of the day. And today's affirmation, today is this is being recorded way before it drops. So it has changed since then. But your affirmation today is, why do I always have more than enough money? Yes. And I immediately copied the link and sent it to all of my coaching clients.
Thank you. That's awesome. That's wonderful.
Because you get the message, you hear the message that you need to hear at the time you need to hear it.
Right.
And I knew that there are certain people in that group that needed to hear that message right now today. So thank you for putting that up on your YouTube channel. The link to your YouTube channel, the link to Dr. Noah's YouTube channel is in the show notes, y'all.
Got it.
Awesome. 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 All right. Let's talk about your new book, the 7-Figure Expert book.
Yep.
Tell me about it. Why is it different than other books?
Okay. So here's this one. I don't know if this will be the last one I hold up.
But you can hold up as many books as you want. And this is an audio podcast as well as a video podcast. So obviously, audience, if you're listening,
there you go. I'm holding
up. You need to go find the video on YouTube.
Funny enough. Anyway. So yeah. So the new book is The 7-Figure Expert, Your Ultimate Guide to a Life of More Impact, Influence, and Financial Freedom. So, you know, this is really what I've been teaching for over 20 plus years now and helping my clients add over $3 billion collectively, you know, adding multiple 6, 7, and 8 figures in record time while winning their lives back, you know, like we talked about earlier. And so I realized that I hadn't actually put it into a book yet. You know, I love writing books. And so I'm like, gee, Noah, maybe you should put it into a book, you know? So I call it my 7-figure expert formula. So it really is a formula and it's a system. And the reason I think that's very important for the folks listening is that, you know, in this industry, you know, the self-help, self-improvement industry, I've noticed, and I'm of teachers out there, and that is you have the personality driven and the system driven. Okay, so personality driven success is exactly what it sounds like, right? It's about that guy's personality. And, you know, we all know the big personalities out there. We all know who it is. And, you know, they take up all the air in the room because they have these larger than life personalities. And they're, you know, they're everywhere on social media. And it's like, okay, well, that's great. The problem is, what if you don't have that personality?
Yeah.
You know, and guess what? Most of us don't. Of course not. You know, that's why they're them. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting is I paid a lot of those guys a lot of money to, you know, hey, man, can you teach me how to be successful like you? Only to find out they can't teach their way out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
There's no there there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they literally did succeed by virtue of their personality. I'm like, well, that's great for you. You know, Hey, you got a jet, you got a helicopter, you got a boat. That's awesome. Nothing wrong with that. But have you helped anybody else?
Yeah.
You know, or I guess it's just you. Okay. Well, yay. But the point is, I gave you all this money and you didn't tell me anything, you know? And so
I interviewed a dude recently. His name is Larry Wilson. He's a comic magician from the 80s. I actually was a little after I figured out who he was. Because sometimes I don't know who people pitch me more than I go after people. And after I figured out who I was like, I used to watch him all the time. Anyway, long story short, he teaches communication skills, but something that he relies on is exactly what you just said, is you can't learn talent, but you can learn technique.
Right.
And that's exactly what you just said.
Yes.
You can't learn the personality, but you can learn the system.
That's right. And so that's what I teach, is system-driven success. And see, that's what I paid all those guys all that money for, only to find out, you know, they can't teach you out of a paper bag. I literally said, well, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And they didn't tell me anything. It's like, and after I paid them all that money, I'm like, thanks a lot. You know, you took my money and you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe I get a little... Yeah. I get a little nugget here, a little nugget there, but my God, it took so much time and money. It was awful. So,
well, anyway. A lot of students of those kind of teachers think that they're going to be just as successful as the trainer if they just put the blue streak in their hair, or they wear the right color lipstick, or, you know, they have their hair cut the right way, or they wear that color shirt, because they're trying to emulate the speaker or the trainer. And you can't copy somebody else's personal brand. Right.
That's right. And honest to God, they really don't have a system. And that's why you notice. And by the way, it's very easy, you know, because people ask me, well, so how do I know the difference? You know, how do I know who's teaching or who's personality driven, who's system driven? I'm like, it's very easy. Is their only success story themselves, or do they have other people who they have helped? You'll notice that in my talks, I'd rather brag about my clients than me.
Yeah.
You know, which is something that makes me different, quite frankly, in this industry. I mean, you know, listen, I've made millions, I've lost millions, I've done fine, I've done well, but who cares, right? Who cares? It should be about, and you know, I've been saying this for a long time, it should be about, have you helped anyone else to reach their goals faster?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the only way that you can know if there's a system. Otherwise, it's a personality. And okay, it's not bad, but it also doesn't help. You know, it doesn't help anyone else. So that's what I'm very passionate about, as you can tell.
I love it. What the other thing that you did that a lot of people don't do is, when you had that shower moment, you did something about the idea that formed in your head.
That's right.
And some people don't do that.
I would argue most people don't do that. So I do. I agree.
So how do you flip that?
Well, you know, I have always looked at it in this way. And again, I know this makes me different, but I really focus on my audience. And so I when I discovered affirmations, here's what happened. And I don't often get to tell the story, so thank you for asking. I was there in the shower. I mean, everything happened exactly the way I described it. Literally, I mean, I know it was a very long shower, but that's really how it happened. Anyway, so I said, holy cow, that is really cool. And the second thought I had was, I can't believe no one's ever thought of that before. Because it was so powerful, so life-changing,
mm-hmm.
so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally staring us in the face the whole time, but I'm the guy that put it together.
Yeah.
And that's what I've noticed. One of the things that I'm good at is assimilating. I'm a very good assimilator. Like, I was just talking about that. You know, I paid all these guys all this money, come to find out they can't teach their way out of a paper bag, but collectively, and this took over $500,000 in 20 years, but I was able to finally get it together. But man, that sucks to take that long and spend that much.
Yeah.
But so with affirmations, I said, oh my gosh, that is so cool. I can't believe no one's ever thought of this. I'm like, well, I guess that's my message. You know, I mean, I got to get it out to the world, because I certainly can't be the only one doing this. Meaning, mm-hmm. you know, the old affirmations way, being frustrated. I just knew that I wasn't.
Yeah.
could, because I couldn't be, you know. I actually remembered a quote that Emerson said, you know, many years ago, and Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said, what is most personal is most universal. See, because it was very personal for me, right? I felt like a failure. I've been doing what they said. I'm like, oh, I must be a failure. It must be just me. And then I realized, no, it's not me. It's them. They're teaching us wrong. Now, again, remember, for one out of four people, it works just fine.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what about the rest of us?
Yeah.
You know?
And that was, I think that was my issue, was that it seemed to work for me. I am statements seemed to work for me, but they weren't working for the people around me. And I was like, well, what's going on here? And then ding, 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 ding. Oh my goodness gracious. Check out this video. I need to consume everything this man, Noah St. John, has to say. And then I need to teach it to people, because I could see exactly that. It felt like it was more like 90%, but
I argue that it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm being very generous with one out of four. Let's put it that way. I think it is one out of 10 or less.
It's not just that you ask yourself better questions. It's that you actually, when you get the answer, you take action. And if you don't take the action part of it, it doesn't matter how many times the answer is in your brain. You're not going to get the result because you didn't take action on the answer.
You're absolutely right, Candace. That's a great point, and certainly something that I teach. And, you know, it's part of my affirmations method, as you know. And so, you know, as I have always said, affirmations, my affirmations method is not magic. Okay. It's science.
Yeah.
In fact, it's what you're already doing right now. This is what I want everybody listening to this program. I hope you get this message, which is that every human being on this planet is already using my affirmations method. Mm-hmm. All 8 billion of us are already doing this. But there's only two problems. Number one is, of course, most people don't know they're doing it.
Yeah.
And number two, most people that you meet are asking lousy questions, like the examples I gave earlier. So when you learn my affirmations method, then you get to do it consciously and you get to choose your questions. As I said, you know, going from disempowering questions to empowering questions. Okay. And that is exactly what changes your life, what can change your life. However, you still have to take action. So the example I always give is that you can't affirm, you know, why am I so healthy? And you sit on the couch, eat junk food and never exercise. And you say, you know, why am I so healthy? And why did I get 6-pack abs? You're not going to get 6-pack abs, you know, if you don't take any action, you know. And it's like, what's funny about that is, you know, like in my company now, it's successclinic.com. That's my company. And, you know, we have actually done for you programs. So because people started asking me about, like, you know, well, Noah, you've written all these books. I want to write a book. You know, can you help me write my book? And, you know, you published all these books, you've written all, can you help me? Because I want to write a book and I don't know where to start. So we actually have a book done for you program. Like, for example, one of our clients right now is a stem cell doctor in Nashville. And he told me, when he contacted me, he said, I've been thinking about writing this book for 10 years, but I haven't known where to start. We got it done for him in 8 weeks.
Wow.
So 10 years to 8 weeks. So the point is, but, you know, there's again an example of taking action. But the point is, what I was getting at is that, you know, you can't just think about it. All right. So the done for you is great. But when it comes to personal growth, you know, I can coach you. You know, I have coaching programs, whether it's one-on-one or group coaching, that help you to take out your head trash, to make more money, all this stuff. But I can't actually go into your brain and take out your head trash. You have to follow the system. You have to do it. Yeah. It's exactly like if you said to me, you know, Noah, I hear you're the best personal trainer out there. You know, you're the trainer to the stars and you help these celebrities, they get in shape. So I want you to help me get in shape. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And so, you know, I'm going to get you the workout plan and, you know, the exercise and diet and what we're going to eat and stuff like that. And then you say to me, okay, that sounds great, Noah. Now, just one thing, I just want you to do my sit-up so I get 6-pack abs, okay? Well, wouldn't that be great, though? Wouldn't that be great if you could hire someone else to do your sit-ups and we get 6-pack abs, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? But so far, I haven't figured, I mean, I'd be a gazillionaire if I could figure that one out. That'd be amazing.
I hope I don't get in trouble for telling you this story, but I have a friend who's a personal trainer and she had a client, and after their workout session, he would order pizza.
Hello.
And so she sat outside his, you know, she pulled around the corner and waited. And, you know, she made him promise, don't order any more pizza. And she waited after that. And he, of course, the pizza delivery guy shows up and she called him immediately and said, you ordered a pizza. We're not working together anymore. Because there's just no way that, no, it didn't matter how hard they worked out. If he kept ordering the pizza, he wasn't going to meet his goals and she couldn't help him.
That is a great example. I love that. I love that example.
But she took action too.
That's right.
She made a conscious decision that she wasn't going to work with somebody who was self-sabotaging.
Bingo. Exactly. Yeah, that's a great example.
I love it. All right. Is there anything else you want to share about your new book? I feel like we sort of got off track there for a second.
So my seven-figure expert formula, so that's what's in the book, the seven-figure expert. And so it really comes down to five phases. And basically, the main reason that I help people make so much money so quickly while winning their lives back at the same time is really these five things. But ironically, it can just be boiled down to two things. Isn't that nice? And so the two things that, you know, I've been teaching for all these over 20 years now, it really comes down to inner game and outer game. Okay. So if you think about any human endeavor, you know, anything that we want to do, whether it's, you know, grow your business, write a book, get in shape, have a happy relationship, basically anything, it really comes down to those two components, the inner component and the outer component. Okay. We just say inner game and outer game. All right. So what is inner game? Well, inner game is everything that happens between your ears that you can't see directly, but it affects everything that you do. So for example, like in my keynote speeches, I'll often say to my audience members, what's one area of your life where your beliefs don't affect you? And here's what people do. They'll go, and I'll go, exactly. There's no place your beliefs don't affect you. Yeah. Right? No place, right? Your beliefs affect your health, right? Your peace of mind, your well-being, you know, it affects your wealth, right? Your money, your finances, your investments, your business, your career, you know, whether you get that promotion or not, or get that client or not, or whatever. And also your relationships, right? You know, your intimate, your personal relationships, professional relationships, everything. So there's no place your beliefs don't affect you. But here's the interesting thing. You can't see a belief. You can only see the effects of a belief. And what's interesting about that is you can be doing really well in one area of your life, but maybe in another, you're stuck or struggling. For example, maybe, you know, your health is really good, but you're not making the money you want, or vice versa. You know, you're making great money, but, you know, your health isn't there. I mean, there's a lot of miserable millionaires out there, right? That's what we don't want to be, right? We want to be a happy millionaire.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point is, that's your inner game. But then we also have your outer game, right? Now, your outer game is everything that you do see directly, right? It's right in front of your face. Like, so for example, as an entrepreneur, you know, that'd be the offers, the funnels, the traffic strategies that you have in place. And so what's interesting is that for so many people, they've spent a lot of time on one or the other, but nobody has taught them how to actually put them together. And I'll give you just a quick example of that. I was speaking at a seminar in Los Angeles for about 1,000 entrepreneurs, right? These are like 7- and 8-figure earners. And I mean, you know, these are high level people, right? And so I was teaching, you know, what I teach. And I was walking off the stage. I literally just finished my presentation. A man came up to me out of the audience and he said, Noah, I want to hire you as my coach. You are the coach I've been looking for. Now, I didn't know this man from Adam. Ironically, his name was Adam. And so, true story. Anyway, so I said, okay. He said, so anyway, he told me the story, which is his company had been, you know, he was at 7 figures, right? So doing well, you would think. But what's interesting is that he had been stuck at that same level for the previous 4 years, had not grown, right? And so he'd spent all this money, went to all the gurus, all the marketing guys, right? Spent all the money and yet couldn't break through that income ceiling. Kept hitting his head on the ceiling, right? So he heard me speak. He said, Noah, you know, you're the coach I've been looking for. He basically hired me on the spot. Again, that's why I love working with high achievers, right? They make decisions quickly and firmly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I coached him for about 18 months. In that 18 months, we got his company, where it had been stuck for the previous 4 years, to over 20 million in sales.
Wow.
600% increase in less than 18 months. And what's fascinating about that is that 95% of what I coached him on was inner game. No one had taken the time to show him, and really nobody else had a system that helped him master his inner game and his outer game, and boom, hockey stick growth.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes you suck at both. Sometimes you're really good at one, but not good at the other. I sure did.
You know? I sure did.
Yeah. And a lot of times people blame other people for their results. And it's not other people. It's the blaming other people is the head trash.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right, I'm going to just ask you this one. How does this new program of yours help people prioritize their time and focus on the activities that generate the most income?
Absolutely. So, you know, going back to my point of inner game and outer game, you know, that's how we really help people to integrate those two things. So one of the biggest problems that a lot of people have today is focus, right? Because we live in a world of infinite distractions.
8-second distractions, mm-hmm. seven-second distractions.
We, you know, many studies say we have less attention
Six
span.
6-second distractions.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, look, at our fingertips every second are these devices of infinite distractions called smartphones. And so, you know, it really is. It's very hard for many people to focus and get anything done. I mean, just as an example, people ask me all the time, Noah, how have you written 24 books? And I always answer the same way, by writing them, you know? Now, I know that sounds like a flippant answer, but it's actually true. It's the truth, because I wrote them by writing them.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that example I was talking about earlier about, you know, my client who'd been thinking about writing a book for 10 years, you know, I'm not putting anyone down. I'm just saying that, you know, if you have an idea for something, you have to actually do it. You know, what's interesting is that you don't get paid for starting, you get paid for finishing. And yeah. Most people that you meet are really good at starting things, but they're not so hot at finishing, but you only get paid when you finish.
Yep.
A lot of people forget that. And again, remember, we live in a world of infinite distractions and shiny objects, and there's always something new down the pike, you know, the latest gimmick, the latest fad. And as an entrepreneur, it's very, very easy to get caught up in, oh, I'll do what she did. I'll do what he did. I'll do it. You know, and it's just, then you never get anything done. Mm-hmm. And so really one of the things that I'm very good at is helping people to focus, just literally put on those blinders and go, all right, we're going to get one thing done today. What's the one thing you're going to get done today? Don't worry about all that other stuff. So, you know, as an example, you know, when I write my books, I'm not on the internet. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not doing all this. I'm writing my book. Is it boring? Yeah, sort of. But then I have a book that's done. Oh, wow. And I get paid.
Do you have some tips on being able to, you know, like if I put on lo-fi music real low and you know, I use like a tomato timer. What is that called? The Pomodoro timer. Pomodoro, I have all these different things that I do so that I can stay focused. What do you do?
Well, I mean, yeah. And, you know, to your point, it's very important for everyone listening, find what works for you. Because like for me, I don't like any noise. I can't even take, now sometimes I'll listen to my IFORM audios in the background. That's the only noise that I like, you know, have my IFORMs going. But you know, what I'll do is I'll shut my office door and I'll say to my wife, I'll say, okay, honey, you know, I need, you know, these next 90 minutes to be not interrupted. And, you know, of course, people say, but I've got kids and I got this, I got that. See, more head trash, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, I know we live on planet Earth. I get it. There's a million and one things you have to do today, but you've got to carve out time for yourself. My favorite example of this is John Grisham. And John, of course, we all know who John Grisham is. And, you know, what most people don't realize or don't know is that he started out as a law clerk, you know, in Memphis. And that's why a lot of his
I wonder why all his stories are about law clerks in Memphis. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. But what he actually heard, he was in court and he heard the story that led to A Time to Kill, you know, that movie that, of course, you know, the book and the movie with Matthew McConaughey and Samuel L. Jackson. Anyway, so that, I mean, that actually happened, or a version of that story. And he said, wow, this is so compelling. He decided to write a book, but he's like, well, I don't have any time. You know, I've got a family. I'm working. I've got a full-time job. He got up at 3:30 in the morning, every morning. And he wrote from 3:30 to 5:30 a.m. Then, you know, went to his job and then da 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 da. And he got his book done. And of course, the rest is history. So what does that story mean? What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is, if you want it bad enough, you'll make it work. You'll make the time. And this is one of the things, I'll just kind of leave this as a thought. People say, well, you know, I don't have the time, right? Most common objection ever, right? Oh, I'd love to do X, but I don't have the time. And then I'll say, that's interesting. Well, do you know what you, me, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, Mark Cuban all have in common? What? We all have the same 24 hours in a day. So when you just said, I don't have the time, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, now, again, I know you got a million and one things to do. I get it. You know, you got a family, you got kids, you got this, you got responsibilities. No kidding. Who doesn't? Right. So, I mean, it honestly comes back to how bad do you want it?
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me focused.
Wow. I love it. I love it. All right. We need to wrap up. So I have two more questions. The first one is, what is your favorite marketing tool, tip, or technique?
Honestly, my favorite marketing tool today is ChatGPT. I do love it. I love that thing. Every time a new thingy comes out, because of what I just said, you know, new distraction, I always wait. I'm never the first adopter. I'm always the last adopter because I want to see how things shake out. I'll give you a perfect example. Clubhouse. Remember Clubhouse?
And I said, is that still around?
No. Hello. No kidding. Right. Threads. That was the new thing. I mean, that was hot for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, 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 no. Anyway. But so when chat came along, I'm like, this smells different. This looks a little different. And, you know, it is. So once I got on, I'm like, boy, am I on board. So it's an awesome tool. And I use it to help me as a writer, you know, and as a marketer. And I basically how I see it is, I've got 100 of the world's best copywriters on staff for $20 a month. I'm like, that's a pretty good deal. But you do have to know how to use it, though. You have to know how to use it. You have to know how to prompt it. And you can't just say, hey, write something. I mean, you got to. So I learned how to do it. It's funny. I got it on day one. You know, everybody's talking about prompt engineering and this and that. I'm like, what's the big deal? I totally got it on day one. You just have to treat it.
But you have to ask it the right questions.
Yes. Hello.
Why do you think you have to ask it the right questions.
Why do you think I got it?
The thing that changed my life about ChatGPT is that I now use it to do my show notes. So after I'm done rendering the video, I upload it to YouTube and I run it through ChatGPT, and ChatGPT does my show notes. So I used to sit here and type during our interviews, and I was like looking over here typing, and now I'm paying attention to you and having a conversation with you. And I know that later ChatGPT is going to extract all the good stuff out.
Yeah. I frankly look at it as essential as the internet at this point. I do.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Last question. This is your moment of gratitude. Noah St. John, for whom or what are you most grateful?
Gosh, I mean, I'm grateful that I'm still alive, because I was very close to not being here. I mean, I went to take my own life at age 25. I mean, I wasn't thinking about it. I went to do it. There's a difference. So I'm grateful that I'm still here. I am grateful that I've, you know, written all these books and helped a lot of people over the last 25 plus years. And I'm really most grateful for my beautiful wife, Babette. She's just the light of my life. You know, people ask me also on, you know, when I'm doing interviews, you know, what was your happiest memory? And I will say, it's easy. That was the day I got married, April 30th, 2011. And I remember just watching her walk down the aisle. I'm like, that's mine. That is mine, baby. Boy, is she good. And she's beautiful. And she's as beautiful. The people who know her know this. She's as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. And makes me smile every day.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs, building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Audible, iTunes, Good Pods, or your preferred podcast player. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Brock and Soul Lily. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for the show notes, where you can find links to all the groovy resources we've mentioned, including ways to connect with our guest, Dr. Noah St. John. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.